The first term of the new Supreme Court session ended this week. Neil Gorsuch, who was appointed by President Trump, took the spot left vacant by Antonin Scalia last year. And Gorsuch has proven to be at least as conservative as the man he replaced. Joining us is NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Hi, Nina.
Hi.
So now that we've seen him in action, where does Justice Gorsuch fit on the bench?
Well, you'd really have to say on the hard right side of the bench. The Trump administration, and especially social conservatives who make up its base, definitely seem to have gotten what they wanted. Usually, it takes time for new justices. Even the late Justice Scalia, they don't come to the court really sure about the issues they've never dealt with before. But for good or ill, Gorsuch seems pretty sure-footed and pretty sure of himself. Vote-wise, his new best friend is the court's most conservative justice, Clarence Thomas, who is, in fact, a great deal more conservative than Scalia was. And they are often joined by Justice Samuel Alito, making it a threesome.
Well, give us some examples of that.
Well, Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito would have reinstated the Trump travel ban in its entirety while the court reviews it. The court's other six justices, including Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy, they sort of split the baby, as it were, reinstating part and not other parts. The three, Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch, dissented when the court summarily struck down an Arkansas law that barred same-sex married couples from both having their names on a birth certificate. On gun rights, Gorsuch and Thomas voted to hear a challenge to California's law barring the carrying of a gun in public for self-defense. The rest of the court left in place a lower court ruling that upheld the law. In the campaign finance area, the two filed similar dissents when the court refused to hear a challenge to the so-called soft money ban contained in the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law. And finally, in the court's major decision on religious rights and the separation of church and state, Gorsuch and Thomas went further than the majority. The majority limited its decision to requiring state aid to a church for the resurfacing of a church playground. But those other two would have gone much further, making clear that they're prepared to strike down a lot more restrictions on religious schools and aid to religious schools.
Now, as we said, Gorsuch replaced Antonin Scalia, who was also very conservative. But there's been a lot of question about what's going to happen to Justice Anthony Kennedy and whether he is going to retire. He has not announced that he will, but he's turning 81. What do you know about what might happen?
Well, I don't know much of anything, but I think it's pretty likely that sometime in the next 4 years, he's going to retire. I just can't imagine him remaining there. He's clearly thinking about it. He hired his clerks for the coming term, but he's not hired all four clerks for the term after that, which he normally would have by this time. And he could still retire now. I think it's more than likely that sometime during the coming term, he's going to let President Trump know that he's planning to retire at the end of the term, contingent on a replacement being confirmed. And in the meantime, his vote and influence are the only things standing between a takeover of the court by the pretty hard right on most, though not all, issues.
What do we know about the cases that the court has agreed to take up in the next term?
Well, if this was a court term in waiting, and it was, because really, you'd have to say that this was not a gangbusters term in any way, shape, or form. The justices sliced the salami pretty thin in a lot of cases. But next term is when the legal thunderbolts start again, with Kennedy likely to be the deciding vote in the very closely divided cases. My guess is that the most high-profile case will be a test of state public accommodations laws and whether business owners can refuse services to gay couples. In this case, it was a baker who didn't want to bake a cake for a gay couple. But lots of folks will care about a case testing whether the police have to get a warrant to track cell phones. And the partisan gerrymandering case quite literally could determine the future of American democracy and how it's conducted.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, since the founding of the Republic, there's been gerrymandering, meaning the party in power drawing district lines for partisan advantage. But in modern times, it's grown more and more prevalent. States increasingly in our very divided country are dominated by one party or another, and those parties, when they're in complete power, perpetuate themselves by drawing district lines to increase their partisan advantage, and they have the help of computers, making it much easier these days. So in recent years, the question has become, is there a limit to how much partisan gerrymandering is too much? And the last time the Supreme Court heard this question, Justice Kennedy said he was amenable to the idea of a limit on partisan gerrymandering, but he couldn't figure out a neutral test of how much is too much. Now, some progressive groups contend that they've come up with a test or two that would work, and we'll see if he buys it. My advice is don't hold your breath.
NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Nina, thanks as always.
My pleasure.